So with that, we will turn it over to any of you who may wish to ask questions. So if you would, just go ahead and start off by using the React button to raise your hand. And again, any question is valid, legit. So please go ahead. And Mike Huttinger has raised his hand. So Mike, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I'm curious about this this idea of getting rid of stuff and how I think I understood you to say that this can raise your happiness. Is that because it gets rid of the distractions that all that stuff has, so you can focus on the things that make you happier? I wasn't sure I understood that.
That is one major slice of it. But here's the other thing, and we could throw this out to all of you. How many of you guys got full storage facilities or full garages or full rooms full of stuff that you absolutely, completely hide from yourself, in avoidance or in denial, because it is this big, huge quantity of dead energy that is literally taking up some of your psychic space? Even if you're ignoring it, it's still taking up. Thank you, Terry. We love your we love your little smiley face. Thank you for that. But so just even getting that. So bye, Elizabeth. Thank you for coming. Getting to that dead energy offers you literal physical room in your house, or it saves you on the storage, the storage fee that you have to pay every month, or you can get into your garage. And for some of you, like you, Mike, who ha likes to tinker around with things, you actually have a workspace. Those are all rejuvenating to your energy, and they you've streamlined, to use a familiar term, right? So
Sound.
did that help at least clarify some of the what's?
Oh yeah, very much actually. Thank you.
Good. And by the way, folks, we're not saying that any of you have to do anything. If you are happy and content with your life, but we're offering you these things as descriptions to help you notice where some of your dead energies, some of your energies may be stuck, and you've just so ignored them, kept them in shadow, in other words, that until you address them, you go, "Oh, wow, God, that feels so much lighter," or "That's, I don't know what to do with this room." And of course, the humor is, for many of you, it's, "Oh, now that I got all this room, I can fill it again," right? And that's consumerism and your conditioning, playing on you. But some of you might actually find sitting in an empty room, maybe with just a candle, or in Terry's case, her crystals, you might find it the most absolutely liberating space of peace and manifest unclutter that you could have by simply having an empty room. Terry, we're on you.
I just wanted to comment how much I have seen these things that you're talking about manifest in other people and a little bit in myself, but how absolutely right on so much of this has been to what I have been experiencing. And I wanted to point out that because I decided to write down every word I could of what you said and what was on the screen, I didn't fall asleep. It's one of the first times I always fall asleep in presentations and whatever. The more information coming my way, the more my subconscious wants to just take it, I guess. But my conscious got it this time.
Well, good. It is certainly, interesting and noteworthy to talk about, as a scholar, the absorption of energy sometimes is best handled through the subconscious and not the conscious. But you decided to consciously and overtly commit your attention, your personality's attention, and then have to transcribe a lot of these things. is obviously a useful strategy for you. So we're glad that, first of all, it worked for you. We're glad, secondly, that you enjoyed it. And thank you for the affirmation that you have noticed the trends that we're talking about. So again, thank you to that. Anything else on your comment or that you wanted to add into that? Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Karen, you're up. Karen Vullett, where are you in there?
So
Oh,
I
I
was just
saw
going
you.
to
Oh,
share,
there you are. Yes.
since you brought up shadow work, which I've been meaning, I desperately need to do that personally. And since it's an artisan year, they do make a coloring book to work in the shadow. I said I would share this. It's been sitting next to my desk since January, because
Thank you.
this is why I need to work in my shadow. But I just wanted to, thought maybe if anybody wants to work in the shadow, they do make this.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. No, that's excellent. Because, folks, we want to say we don't want your shadows to be threats to you in yourself anymore. So, if handling it in a way that engages your inner child, like through a coloring book, would work, or if we actually know a person who has a lot of stuffed animals, and including, mythical animals that she, that represents characters out of her subconscious. You know that Jose Stevens, characterized the chief features as dragons. Well, the dragon is probably one of, if not the most cited, shadow image. There you go. That there is. So, looking at your own chief feature, as we're redoing some of the things, we found dragon images that characterize each of the seven chief features, and they all differ. And so we got to get busy to posting them on the website. But in any case, nonetheless, whether we post them or you just do them yourself, imagine another thing that we would suggest is just close your eyes for a thought experiment just for 30 seconds and imagine opening up one of three things: either a big closet or a storage shed or going into a cave. And we can tell you any one of those images as your starting place, when you go in there, you will find lots of your shadow things. And by the way, they might not all be frightful at all. Some of them might be, you forgot to bring out the part of you that loves to laugh. You've gotten so serious in the way that it's got relegated to shadow. So there's any number of ways of dealing with it, engaging it, and so forth. And by the way, and when you go in there and you encounter them, you can review these objects that appear in there and say, what it, maybe it's nostalgia that you hold on to it with, meaning something, you find some, oh my God, I know I've got this in storage somewhere. This was my late sister's. Oh my God, and then you look at it and you realize that it's the feeling and that connection to the person, not the thing. And when you can make that realization, then you can make resolve and you can bring the love and affection of that through the emotional center in back into the self and let the thing potentially go. Doesn't mean you have to, but we think that many of you actually find that you rigorously start getting rid of things that just bog your life down. You'll be astounded at what the lightness feels like when you have space. So thank you for that, Karen. And you had a question in addition? Well, thank you for sharing that. Very much appreciate it. All right, who's next? Anyone? Okay. All right, there we go. Catherine, you're next.
Just a curiosity. Again, with Terry, I agree. There's so much of what has been talked about tonight I've also seen. And I really appreciate the information about shadow self. I can see some ways that I can now sort of do some deep diving and find out what's going on in places and maybe find some resolution somewhere. But I wanted to know more about how the external world is going to experience October. You talked about how October would open up for some if we've done the preparation work. We're starting October 1st with a potential shutdown of the government. How do you foresee that heading out? Because that brings up security issues, like if we don't get a lot of the those of us on government pensions,
Right,
Medicaid,
right.
things like that, Social Security. What are the impacts going to be? I know we can face them, but what is the current direction that things are going on?
Some of the potential ramifications are is we think the shutdown is going to be booted down the road a couple times. Republicans, particularly the Speaker of the House, is much more pragmatic than the maniac in chief. And so but they're looking at and probably will have it closer to the middle of October rather than the beginning of October. At that particular time, many of you will have gotten your pension checks, or a number of you will have. So the feeling of fiscal freak out won't happen so much in October. Well, what will freak out for a number of people will particularly be, which you've already seen, but really crescendo, is when farm subsidies are supposed to come into play, throughout, that first quarter of the, or I should say the last quarter of 2025, because they're already freaking out with the cutbacks and the dogeness and all that sort of thing. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't Doge feel like, forever ago, and yet it was just 6 months? But anyway, some of those things are coming home to roost. Also on the international front, what's interesting is how many of the American trading partners are already, gearing up for any of Trump's, the effects of tariffs. So many people will face a lot of rising prices, which is why we suggested in through November and into that first 6 months of the year, as we said. We think that on the left, the anger, the raising out of resentment into anger, into action is actually in play and rolling forward and happening. For a lot of, Trump supporters, we unfortunately think that, you're going to see more violence incidences. And what will happen in 2025 when the warrior year hits, you're going to see more left-oriented incidences of violence, not just Luigi, taking out an insurance company CEO. And so the ramifications are going to feel like, for most of you, actually just mostly higher prices. And you'll have the permission to panic if you want, but we would tell you that right now, the systems that are in play are not at desperation levels of collapse. But the politicking and the feeling of psychological, sociological overload, that has collapse to it. That has social breakdown. We can tell you that the admirals of industry, they've been raised from captains, have too much control of markets now because they own too much of it to actually let a disintegration happen. Because that's their funds, right? As far as they're concerned. So they're not going to let that kind of massive, major diminishment happen, even though they would certainly let some. But anyway, we did that answer some of your questions?
Thank you.
Okay, certainly, certainly. Jillian, you're up next.
Thanks. Some things that have come up today that are very concerning. The president has asked the Supreme Court to allow him to unilaterally take away birthright citizenship today. Also has indicated that he unilaterally wants to close down Act Blue and other ways for leftist organizations to get funds together. Is there any read that would indicate that the Supreme Court wouldn't let him get away with that?
We think it'll be a 5-4 against that both Kavanaugh and who's the Chief Justice, won't go quite that far. That they will not allow the birthright citizenship to happen. Yeah, believe it or not, Kavanaugh, even he's, as much as a loose cannon he is, there's repercussions that he fears that could grow out of that, that he doesn't want to be, that he doesn't want to have effect on him, even as a court justice. Anyway, but the Act Blue, we don't think that they're going to take his request, so it's going to continue in, essentially in a limbo, in a and he will do things to try and sabotage it and use other court means, but the Supreme Court doesn't look like they're going to intervene on that one. But he's still going to keep attacking it, obviously.
Well, if they don't intervene, he can shut it down. Thank you.
Okay. Who's next? Anyone else? All right. Well, since we have quiet on the troops and we have seemingly somber faces and some dining experiences,
We're so beaten down, I think. Like we're just,
that's understandable. That's understandable. The weight of the current era has, the last time the mature soul energy actually took a big thrust forward was during the Depression. It was tried to be countered by the fascism of the Second World War. You guys haven't gotten to the Third World War yet. And the thrust forward that happened in the 60s and 70s of mature soul policies and have had longer to take root. And a lot more people, as Catherine was talking about when she said pensioners, that has also taken root more. And even the most hardy capitalist free marketeer libertarian can't deny the amount of economic underpinning that it does. But from a social standpoint, from a feeling of the heaviness and that self-censorship and the feelings of impending doom and violence that is in the air, which creates a constant exhausting state of anxiety. That is, of course, absolutely the difficulty that everyone, and of course, that's the kind of state of fear, to quote, I guess it was Patterson's book, novel of several years ago, that they are really trying to develop. The likelihood of violence is actually, is even is on the state level may come from ICE and him trying to use the army in cities and so forth. But the real fear he wants to unleash is neighbor against neighbor, because then that would give him the excuse. Now, where that goes, it's all in creation. So, Catherine, you had another question, and it
Yes,
looks
World War III, Third World War.
yeah.
Is that how, what are the probabilities for that and timelines at this
Well,
point?
the Third World War is not the kind that will be total nuclear destruction. It'll be much more cyber destruction. It'll be much more population displacements, and it will much be more actually attacks on physical infrastructures, power grids, all those kind of things than ever before.
Kind of disturbing.
And it is disturbing, and we don't want to say it's inevitable. But we were talking about the kind of ways that the probabilistic and projections of, you've probably heard, I believe it was Mark Twain who said, history may not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And that's what we're referring to, that the rhyme scheme of it is not the same kind of warfare that you had in the first two wars, which committed a lot of human beings to go fight each other. And it's not going to be the thermonuclear type either. It is likely to be destabilization. And again, people, being, almost returned to feral states, even in fairly technologically advanced countries.
That is
So,
a very frightening scenario.
it
That
is,
will
it
be a
is,
lot of deaths.
it is, it is. And even though it is not in the main trunks of
Okay.
what we see, we are saying that all the precursors are there in the mix.
Okay.
So, whereas people might have thought, oh, no, that'll never happen, it's not true anymore. Yes, it can, but is it likely to? Still, no, it's not likely to, because there are enough of
Okay,
you
thank you.
who are pushing against. There are enough of you who are in the mix, trying to undercut and or resisting. And the resistance may have to be ramped up, and it definitely will be in the 2026 year.
Okay, thank you.
So, would Jillian, or were you the next one, or was there somebody before you?
Brad.
Oh, Brad. Okay, so Brad, go ahead, and then Jillian.
Right. Hi, Steve.
Hi there.
Slash Michael. Yes.
That's all right. We go by all of
Yeah.
it.
Yes. Just one thing in particular. By the way, could you possibly mute me? My wife, Lori, is here too, and I'm hearing my echo.
So.
Yeah. I was wondering about the Hegseth mass of military generals that he's wanting to have this really big get together. I don't remember which state it's in, but it's
Believe it's in
unprecedented
Virginia.
in Virginia. Any idea about what on earth that is and potential dangers involved with what he's trying to do?
Well, it's going to work against him, we can tell you that. What he's doing is he is he's marking territory. He's loyalty testing. He is going to fire some of the top military brass outright. But it's going to send such shock waves. Only about 25% of the American military think ultra conservative, meaning three quarters of even the leadership does not. And they're smelling the coffee and going along with it, keeping the status quo. But there'll be a tipping point. Now, Hegseth, who's this, incredibly, self-absorbed artisan, moving center jock, who loves his, aggressive, quality, especially, on people that are weaker than him. When he actually exerts that on people who are actually stronger than him, oh yes, he's got the authority from a position standpoint. But from what he will destabilize in his own real authority and in the world of perception will really work against him. But that's what it's about. It's a loyalty testing, and it's a, him climbing on top saying, I'm the boss, and what's and all of you are going to follow, essentially what Hitler did with his generals. From the transition from the Weimar Republic into his regime.
Okay.
Yeah, this
Yeah.
is, all of this, as Jillian pointed out, last earlier this year in the first quarter, is all of this is, in alignment with the philosophy and the touch points of Project 2025, all of it, and they've done a
Yeah.
good job of. And as far as remember, we harken back to the term complexity. Most of the people who participated in voting for Trump, they didn't know anything about this. They just were too ignorant, too unwilling, and didn't care. It was just about me for them. So
Yeah.
all of the bigger ramifications are now coming home to roost for them as well. Across the board, and so forth. So anyway, and this is going to be one of them, because a lot of those people come from states where they're really well revered and respected. And even these, red state people will look at it and go, Oh my God, you know, this general, he's been, you know, he's from, you know, our state. He's been doing this for this and that, and we like him, and he's just got fired, and you know, that'll be a real wave of undermining confidence for a lot more people, adding to this these number of straws that are slow, you know, that are quickly and slowly breaking the camel's back. So that's what we see about that, Brad.
All right. Thanks. Thanks.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Jillian, we believe you're next.
Yeah, thanks. Going back to Project 2025, and specifically around white Christian nationalism, which is, 2025 is the blueprint for that, essentially. It feels like it got a huge lift out of the Charlie Kirk assassination, and I understand they're going to make a coin with him anyway, whatever. I guess the question I have is, like, Americans have been so for 250 years more than that, actually, have been kind of cranky about people telling us what our religion should be. And I'm wondering, are people actually going to stand up and push back on this? I'm a little worried because I'm on the left and we don't have guns, but just on a principled situation, at what point do people either say, okay, run me over, or I'm not going to stand up for it. I'm not going to stand up for, I'm not going to stand for it. I'm going to stand up. I mean, my congressman yesterday said that his concern is that we're going to end up with martial law. He's pretty, he was very, very blunt about feeling that that was what was going to happen. And they're doing a lot of this in the name of white Christian nationalism. I'm wondering, like, is that going to be the anchor that they'll use, and how successful will that be?
Well, you called it correctly by naming it as an anchor, and concentrating it around it. And interesting enough, like all baby souls, there are many baby souls who are afraid of their own movement, but they don't want to say anything to disagree. And they would trot out their own guns, actually more to protect themselves, but to, not make waves against thinking that, they'd be the bad guys, unfortunately. But there's a lot of young souls out there who would just say, who thought or who viewed all this as just, more of a money making and establishing, or reconfirming our power in the world and the ego of that, who will just look at this and just go, shit. I mean, I like some of these people that they're telling us I gotta shoot, or if not shoot, that are gonna be taken away. That's already been happening little by little. And you've seen some backlash and resistance to the ICE and these kind of things, but the likelihood of it, as we said, when we talked about this Third World War, it's going to happen. What'll trigger it way first will be America's internal implosion. As far as in its internal implosion, won't mean that it will just be rolling over and giving in to Donald Trump and a right wing. It will mean that there will be what is likely to be, more of, what will be called or thought of as a civil war. And as far as, you on the left not having guns, that is what we called for earlier when we said, looking at your masculine energy and doing things that, where you really say, okay, what would I kill for? What would I die for? Our review of history has been such that, when there have been, say, mature soul or even old soul cultures, like the Tibetans, when the Chinese, came in, their commitment to Buddhism, was so great, that they were lambs to the slaughter. While in a way it was very principled, and it was certainly based on their religious tenets, much more with integrity than, most of what these white nationalist Christians are. The white nationalist Christians that, you know, many of them are really under that, it should be called white monetarists, Christians, you know, that, you know, Christ didn't chase anybody out of the, you know, temple with a bullwhip. He actually, you know, took up and, you know, helped organize a corporation. That's the way they've, you know, they've kind of been brainwashed to believe. Well, there will be resistance. Will it be initial? No. You know, the left will continue to try and do stand on principles, stand on law. And that won't, you know, as you can see, Trump getting bolder and bolder about standing up against court decrees and so forth. And then because he has has most of the Supreme Court just, you know, blank rubber stamping his blank checks. Until, you know, that he has manipulated them into his pocket. Well, that will also not be able to be withstood. People will finally get angry, but it will, unfortunately, the left has a long fuse. And as we said, you know, you could even say that, let's talk about, say, the New Age Human Potential Movement as the counter to white Christian nationalism. It was, you know, kumbaya, love everyone, you know, include everyone. And as these more and more hard lines were evolving over the course of the last 40, 45 years, you know, everyone said, well, we just, you know, love and light. And, you know, we just, of course, believe that they will see the light and come into that and so forth. But not accounting for the fact that this huge gulf in the economics of society were happening. And those people who were at the effect of the, you know, the losses were also the ones who were much more likely already to become Christian extremists. You know, their Christianity might have been genuine to them, but it was old style, more simple. You know, sin was personal and, you know, fire and brimstone, but go to the church picnic, support the local high school, you know, get involved in your community. Now, you know, there's so much segregation and so much, you know, hatred involved that has been, you know, mixed into that very skillfully that a lot of the ignorant people, have been caught up into that, and they're just terrified, and they're like the baby souls we said. They're deers in the headlights with guns. You know, many of the liberal side of the equation are mostly, you know, later young souls, most mature souls, but not all, because there's a number of mature souls who got on board with Trump, and even some old souls who got on board, you know, thinking that, you know, wanting to believe in messianic, you know, religiosity again, and deciding to see him as that. Now, they're operating, we could tell you, they're operating from a much, you know, earlier soul age point of view and without a lot of consciousness or reality behind it. But nonetheless, they are still old souls and some mature souls. The rest of you went along trying to move forward, trying to acquire things and living the good life of consumerism. You know, it's hard not to enjoy creature comforts. There's no shame in that. But the overwhelming surround of the milieu of creature comforts that has, you know, that has gone from the 60s and 70s when there was, you know, a lot of still local production in the world, or excuse me, in the United States, to, you know, having stuff go overseas and then, you know, go to services, much lower paying jobs, the disbanding of unions, all those sort of thing. The people who got left behind are the ones who are primarily the MAGAs. So we realize we've said a lot in regard to this. And the bottom line is it's still, the conflict is still rising. And people will have to take a stand or be bowled over. And that was what we said when we invited everyone to get ahead of the curve and really look at your own masculine energy and say, what would I kill for? What would I die for? What would I sacrifice myself for? But the fourth one we didn't mention, which needs to be, is like what the Tibetans did. They just rolled over and went numb and were obliterated. And that served no one. That served no one. Because you're dealing with a conscience-less group. Gandhi in India had the British and the British culture, which had a conscience, and they eventually had to relent because they couldn't deal with the degree to which they were becoming the animals. This culture in this country and Hitler in that country don't have that conscience at all. So, Karen, I believe you're next.
I just want to chime in on what Jillian was talking about with the evangelical Christians, and then I had another question, a quick question,
Yeah,
hopefully a quick
go ahead.
question, but because I follow a lot of YouTube, left-leaning YouTube podcasters and so on, who follow some of the right-wing podcasters, and they were posting some of the comments that came in after Charlie Kirk's memorial, and they were. It didn't seem to have the, rallying effect on the right that I think they were expecting. Some of them were really put off. They were like, "What the hell was that?" I mean, Stephen Miller, I think, made them all puke with his, and he was like, I mean, I couldn't even watch that. He's just so. But even the evangelicals were like, "What he's peace?" Even they could say he was spewing hate. They were criticizing Erica Kirk because she looked like the performance. They were really kind of disgusted by the whole thing. Hugging Trump, like, was just gross to them. So I'm like, well, that's encouraging that maybe some of them are like seeing that something's not right here. And then my question was, I want to ask about Tyler Robinson. Because there's a lot of speculation that he was paid to do the shooting. There's somebody else funding, even those in the, 'cause I learned all about the dark web and the Groypers and all these like gross tunnels that young men get into in these on Discord, and there's other ones, and they're groomed in there, and certain dark forces can come in and just find the right person, and they learn they're a good shot. And so I'm just curious, asking Michael, is there something, is it just a disgruntled young man, or is it
No,
somebody
no,
that, is there something else behind this?
no, no. We actually think that with some investigation, which will probably in within the next 10 years never come to light, but we actually think that Trump's organization himself had Charlie Kirk eliminated. With the full idea and full, hand-wringing, clever strategy. And it truly has worked, obviously, that first of all, you'd get rid of a person who was getting to be a pill in their side, because he was his own form of fanatic, Charlie Kirk. But on top of that, he was popular enough and he had enough of of a name recognition that if they killed him, they could make him a martyr, like we talked about. And they could bank off of it, and they have. They've worked at doing that. But what's interesting, as you pointed out, is that there's been a recoil, a pull back of a lot of people's hate mongering and frothing at the mouth about him as just a victim and so forth. That is to say, Charlie Kirk, and the fact that. A lot of people look at this young man w when they can, w of what they can find out because it's so now cut off from public scrutiny. And he didn't have the wherewithal. Yeah, he was a good shot, but all the organization and planning and setup and like that wasn't in his wheelhouse. So, he was a stooge for other forces and other people.
I knew it.
Is that why he's not cooperating?
It's interesting that he's not cooperating, because in fact, it's like he's trying, and now he's having second thoughts, about saving his own skin. And but we have to tell you, we wouldn't be surprised if
He ends up
He has a
dead.
if
suicide.
Mr. like Mr. Epstein, he and commits suicide, right? You wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Well, Kirk was calling for the Epstein file, so
Yes, exactly.
Trump would be like, okay, he's got to go.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's been very interesting that has at least partially fractured the right, is the Epstein files. The ultra Orthodox Christians, they're Christians by name, who are just white and right. And so they say, well, yeah, Jesus brought it all in, so they'll hide behind Jesus. But they could give a crap about anything that has to do with real faith. But there is that segment of the uneducated part of the Republican Party that we talked about that was really affected economically, or hit your knees, what denomination are you? Hold on to the good book, like it was your last dollar, devoutness. In other words, it's the ultimate authority, right? And they're the ones who are going, well, wait a minute, you promised, we're going to find out about the sinner. And more and more of them are really getting loud and clear that the only reason that they hold these files back is because he's in there. And it'll be proven that he is the worst kind of sinner that they're supposed to hate. And yet,
Fecal
that's
calamities
done there.
wouldn't do it, but
I'm sorry, what was that,
certain
Karen?
fecalities wouldn't do it, but apparently, they need to have it in the Epstein file. So all of his felonies and so on didn't convince anybody.
Right. Yeah.
The
They
felonies were not sex with little girls.
right. Exactly.
He was going on trial for that, but right before he was elected. And they had the girl drop it because she's probably, death threats and her whole family threatened. And
A 14-year-old withdrew her suit because she was being intimidated.
Right.
We'll see.
I had just one thing, short thing, Steve, which is, as we're looking at all of this, and Karen has talked about the podcast she listens to, the ones I do. Charlie Kirk had 1.8 million a million followers, and Heather Cox Richardson every night has more than 3.5 million readers, and that doesn't include her YouTube channel, and it doesn't include her Blue Sky. So there are people out there who are being educated. I'm really curious about where Heather Cox Richardson comes in because she's such an important figure. But I just wanted, that's where I get my encouragement that, if you put it all together, it's about 5 million people follow her every day and are learning facts. And, hopefully that's going to help us to wade, to ride these waves. But, I guess my only question is, where does Heather Cox Richardson come in? But I think that, she's the ultimate scholar, and I don't know what, I don't know the rest of her chart. I'd probably be able to figure it out, but just that
Well,
was just.
she's also a stoic, and her ability to come across is absolutely even-handed. And so when she is, when she does have an emotion in her thing, people know it's not contrived. It's so, in other words, the wavelength and the vibration that people get off of her is so clear and so clean. Now, there are those in-betweeners, who would never listen to her, that are starting to get the trickle down from some of her stuff to other people who are, less, but who are otherwise on the fringes. And so she represents in, the in our terminology of positions, in groups, she is an integrator figure. And that's what she does, extremely well. Integrator is like the next octave up to the knowledge position in the support positions. And the integrator literally is the one that, can cull all this together. And as far as giving people hope, what we would say is in giving people knowledge, people are building their own hope, which is a comment we'd like to say to you folks, is that we really encourage you to take your anger and say, I'm going to be hopeful, even just to spite them. Because the more that people say, oh, I've got to see evidence to bank my hope on, that's a learned helplessness. And that's a dependency. And what literally got, the United States through World War II was Franklin Roosevelt's fireside chats, reminding how have everybody raise their vibration, raise their frequency. And times were much tougher then. The United States is still coming out of the depression. People weren't near as educated, but he made it so he that the world that was going on, they could see it. So the complexity of the world right now is serving against most people because most people feel overwhelmed by too much information, and possibly even tonight our talk, we might even be adding to that. But with Heather Cox Richardson, her ability to synthesize, integrate, and then relate in a completely feasible manner that is unthreatening. Her persona is unthreatening. And so even fringe people who are in opposition will pause and, take a picture, take a page out of her book. The Lincoln Project and Bulwark and a number of the so-called, what the remainder of the so-called true conservatives, reference her all the time now because what she says is so not only so factually correct in the examples that she brings up, both in historical precedent and in current events, but her synthesis of it is so clear and understandable on so many levels.
And objective.
And objective, she doesn't put a big spin on her own liberalism. As you well know, she calls herself a Lincoln Republican. And of course, that's one of the things that she's glad to say too, is, she wishes people would stop the oversimplification and go back in history and realize that the names of parties may have switched, but or may have stayed the same, but the content of their parties have flipped, almost 180 degrees, et cetera, et cetera. So in any case, that's why her words also, for those of you who do active thinking, we want you to know that the probabilities are still better and still leaning toward humanity getting out of this and you in this country not coming up unscathed. There's going to be violence, there's going to be hardship, there's going to be intensity, but not falling under a dictatorship. That's still the 51%, but it's now up to 49% and grow and potentially growing. And what's going to stop it is your choice of actions or your inactions. But the good news is some of the choice of actions are coming from the defections of his allies, not his power base allies, the ones who have a public face so much, even though Marjorie Taylor Greene is, that baby soul sage is just, melting down in her own stew. But still, there are fractures, and there are people in that were in it, of his base, that are doing the people that that you have to, and you've said it yourself, Jillian, we'll give you credit for this, is the people that are like behind the JD Vances that, don't care if Trump lives or dies, they're ready to jump in and just take it all over, and have Vance as their ultimate stooge. Donald Trump is too much of a megalomaniac and insane and unpredictable to be controlled, but he does enough crazy things that it works for them anyway, so they're just biding their time. It's those persons and those aspects that you have to prepare for behind the scenes, that they would be brought up, so to speak, as a as a second wave. Because right now, Trump's health, idiocy, and so forth is diminishing. His idiocy is increasing. His capacity is diminishing.
And today, Thiel got it turned out that Thiel and Steve Bannon and Elon Musk were all associated with Epstein.
Right.
The Fox
right.
Corp.
Yeah.
Knock me over with a feather.
Yes. Where's my pearls to clutch?
Really? My smelling salts.
It's very hard to imagine you two women as Southern belles passively being surprised, maybe with a musket in your hands, pointing it at the, shall we say, family jewels of those otherwise offenders. But it's hard to imagine the taking on the personas.
It would be the arsenic and the sugar in the tea.
Yes.
Yeah. I can say dirty words on account of I'm a lady.
Yes, very good. That's very good.
Yeah. Karen and I are pretty, weak and helpless.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yeah, our masculine energy there. What masculine energy?
Yeah. So, Karen, I still see your hand up. Do you have another question?
Oh, sorry. I forgot to lower it.
No, that's all right. Just wanted to make sure.
No, Karen's just making her list of people that she'd kill for.
Can I get the
and we
PhD
don't. And we and see now that's the shadow. That's the shadow we talk about that it's okay to make light of, but realize that that is that killer behind the scenes. Saying. You want to own my power? Get honest. Because otherwise, a lot of those people, we saw a bumper sticker reason that said, it says, I can hardly wait for the, what was it? The big, beautiful obituary. There's an example of that, that kind of, and it's a sense of humor, but it's also a repressed shadow. And it actually doesn't do much in the way of good, except inflame their shadows. Thank you, Twana. Have a good one. In any case, just some suggestions about what to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting at close to 7 o'clock and we're not seeing anyone raising a hand for additional questions. So we're going to assume that all of you are thoroughly blown over, blown away, hopefully not blown up. But otherwise felt like what you got tonight empowered you more than disempowered you.
Yeah, definitely.
As always, we wish you blessings and we wish you strength and we wish you the highest vibration that you can attain. And the way to do that is to confront and come to terms with your shadows. You don't have to eliminate them. You don't have to kill them off. You don't have to pretend they don't exist. You just own them. You just own them. They're part of you. They're energy. Everything in the universe has protons and electrons. They both circle around the nucleus of you. Don't deny one in favor of the other, thinking that you're going to become more powerful that way. It does not work that way. So, in any case, we hope that's been of use to you tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you all here. Thank you for your time and your patience. All we can say is, please enjoy your remainder of the year. Be as flamboyant, as creative, and as self-expressive as you feel you can be or you want to be. And find ways to make energy and share it. And with that, we will say good night.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
Michael.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you,
Steve. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Bye now.